I'd like to speak tonight about helping me, dear brethren, on seven things that stand in relation to the house of God from the Psalms. Psalm 127, part of verse 1. Except the Lord do it, they labor in vain that build it. The builder of the house. Psalm 93. The end of verse 5. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Holiness. Psalm 84. Verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. The praises of the house. Psalm 36. Now read from verse 7 to get the connection. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see the fatness of the house. Psalm 26. Verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, and the place where thy glory dwelleth. I'm quoting now from Mr. Garvey's translation. The place where thy glory dwelleth, the glory of the house. Psalm 132. Read a few verses in this psalm. All remember David and all his afflictions. I was swearing unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Verse 7. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy midst, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness. Let thy saints shout for joy. Verse 13. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. The worship of the house. And lastly, Psalm 134. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Psalm 135. Just the second verse. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Ye are the servants of the Lord. The servants of the house. Or the service of the house. This afternoon about the thought of building the builder of the house. We were reminded about Adam, how the rib was taken from him and God built the woman. When we come to the tabernacle, you remember Moses was up the mount and he got the pattern from God and the tabernacle was built. When we come to the house, you remember David got the pattern. He said, the hand of the Lord is upon me. And he got the pattern. And David prepared abundantly for the house of God. And we know that Solomon was the one who was chosen to build a house. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain to build it. He's the builder of the house. When we come to the New Testament, you remember in Matthew 16 where we get the first mention of the assembly? You remember it was said there, the Lord would say, upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against him. He's the builder of the house. But you know, there is one thing greater than the house of God. And that is the God of the house of God. And except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Now there's much more to be said about this verse, but I move on to my second point. In Psalm 93. Now this quotation was mentioned a few times this afternoon. Holiness, we come and find house, O Lord, forever. The holiness of the house. As we move through Scripture, we see God speaking from his throne of holiness. That's what David said in the psalm, didn't he? He's speaking from his throne of holiness. And holiness marks God from Genesis right through to Revelation. Holiness. You remember Moses? Take off thy shoes from off thy feet, for where thou standest, holy ground. You remember Isaiah? Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Holiness cometh thy house, O Lord, forever. When Hezekiah rebuilt the house, you remember? They were marked by holiness, sanctification. They were to sanctify themselves in holiness. Holiness cometh thy house, O Lord, forever. When Josiah set up the house in his day, it was marked by holiness. When he spoke of the ark, Josiah says it was a holy ark. Oh, let us not go over standard. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. Let us set up a banner of holiness over the house of God. How do we pain drive it down today? Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. And as we move from the Old Testament into the New Testament, we see the same thought being carried right through. When we come to Peter's epistle, he speaks about that whole amount. I forgot it, you know. When he spoke about the prophets of old, they were holy men of God who spoke. When he spoke about women, it was the holy women. When he spoke about a conversation was to be holy, holy conversation. Now this is stress, this is the exercise of the local brethren, that behavior might come in. Be ye holy as I am holy. Or when we think of the unholiness that's going on today, and we think of how men would drive the person, the glorious person of the Son of God, the one who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, how they would drive him down to the level of men. Holiness, we come at thy house, O Lord, forever. Speaking in mother language now, I shuddered when I noticed in the paper the other night there, the Bishop of Wakefield says, let the film go on about Jesus. I shuddered at the thought of it. Let us set the standard of holiness, become as thy house, O God, forever. Let us not draw the standard. It's a fixed principle. And today, shame on them who would draw the standard. No wonder we're outside the camp bearing his reproach. One feels if some of these men ever knew the Lord Jesus as Savior. Shame on them! When we think of the glory and the greatness and the holiness of such a person as our blessed Lord and Savior, that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And he was holy in every step of his path. The one who knew no sin, did no sin in him, was no sin at all. Let us reverence him in holiness and bow before him. Let us be like Josiah Paul, recognize the holy mark of God, which speaks of Christ. When we come to the 84th Psalm, I don't want to take up too much time. Much more can be said on these lines. And yes, I like to go to that Psalm. It's a lovely Psalm. It's divided into three parts. I would say the first four verses is desirability. Oh, how your soul's born and fainted for the courts of the Lord. And I think we have a little touch of discipline in verse 6 in the house of God. But thank God we were reminded in prayer there is destiny. Destiny in verse 11. Glory. Glory. But here it says in verse 4, the verse I quoted, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they shall be still praising thee, praising thee. What a grand thing it is to praise the Lord. We don't praise him enough, you know. David had a great sense of his greatness and his dignity and his glory and being praised. He would say, great is the Lord. Great will be with praise. His greatness is unsearchable. In Psalm 119, David says, seven times a day do I praise him. You praise him seven times a day? What a challenge to our hearts. Do I praise him seven times a day? Are we still praising him? The praises of the house is a blessing, you see. Oh, I was thinking, you know, about this thought, dwelling in the house. Blessed are they that dwell in his house. I was thinking about that lovely verse in the Psalm 27. Daniel quoted it today. But he missed out the clause, you know. And it was this. One thing I would rather for the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord forever, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire of his temple. Ah, the beauty of the Savior. He's got the dazzle every eye, the coming day, the crowning day is coming by and by. Are we attracted to his beauty today? We're in the house. You know the house is where God is known. It's where God is worshipped. It's where he's praised. For the beauty of the house, he will be still praising thee. Another quotation from the Psalms comes to my mind. And you know, David warms our hearts up in affection, doesn't he? His affections, you know, was moved towards the house of his God. And he says this. He says, I will call upon the name of the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Of course he's worthy to be praised. Worthy is the Lamb who slain is worthy to be praised. Ah, we need to be encouraged, dear brother, to praise him more. You know, if you're in a lonely meeting, how poor and feeble is our praise. He's worthy to be praised. Of course he is. Heaven says he is. We know he is. The songs began now because we are in heaven. Oh, that we might be more spirit than our affections. Oh, how poor our affections move sometimes when we're in the presence of such a lowly person. May we be found like David of old, blessed are the men there in that house. They will be still praising me. Now, before I leave this psalm, I just want to draw your attention to three blessings. In verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. In verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. And lastly, in verse 12, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Or in that way it is, to bless the Lord. And David says in verse 10, I would rather be a doorkeeper, notice, a doorkeeper in the house of my God, and to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I know how true this is. While we're doing what you know with men and women today, in our business life, how we like to watch, you know, our souls are vexed with me today by that filthy conversation. And I do pray that as those meetings go on, we might have a deep sense that we're not here for a social gathering. This is indeed a holy convocation. You remember in the book of Leviticus, in the 23rd chapter, when we get the Feast of Jehovah, I think 11 times those words are mentioned. It is a holy convocation. And my dear friend, we've come here, it's a holy convocation. The subject is divine. And we desire that produce over those hearts of ours a note of worship and praise and adoration. And we were bound over this experience. Blessed is the man that dwells in that house. They shall be still praising me. And it says, Sila, which means pause and Christian. Now we'll move on to the 36th Psalm. Psalm 36. Verse 8, he shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. I have noticed in reading through the Psalms and reading the writings of David, he speaks about satisfaction more than any other prophet I know. Satisfaction. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of God's house. Now this challenges my soul. Are we satisfied with the fatness of God's house? David says in Psalm 64, we shall be satisfied with thy goodness, the goodness of thy house. In Psalm 63 he says, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. Marrow and fatness. And of course, he says, he satisfied the longing soul. And he filleth the hungry with goodness. And you know, full well in our heart of hearts, there is nothing in this world that can give us satisfaction by an occupation with Christ. Company with him as we move along. He rises to us. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Why is everything in the house to encourage us? The fatness and the marrow. Why, it's a spiritual house, isn't it? Of course it is. We'll come to that in Peter's epistle. It's a spiritual house. It's where God has blessed us with spiritual blessings. Of course he has. It's there where he has given us spiritual good. 1 Corinthians 10. And that spiritual meat with Christ. And of course, when we're occupied with the fatness of his house and with Christ, it produces spiritual psalms and spiritual praise. And of course, it goes on to spiritual sacrifices. What a grand thing it is to have our hearts endowed in a good manner and be occupied with the fatness of his house. Oh, we don't need to go outside. Everything's inside for us. Inside the house of God, where Christ is everything. Oh, that we might know more and more about this satisfaction of God's house, the fatness of his house. Now that we come to Psalm 26, I'm just running through briefly, leave room for others to speak. This is a lovely verse, isn't it? Verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thy glory dwelleth. Well, just quote the verse that Brother Norman quoted from the Psalms in his prayer. In his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Glory of the house. Glory of the house. You remember when it came to the day when the house was complete, when it was finished, Solomon's day? It says they praised the Lord. Trumpeters, they sounded, you remember? 20, so on. And he says, the glory of the Lord, it filled the temple. The glory of the house. And David, you know, this was a remarkable quotation of his, wasn't it? Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thy glory is. Do we really love the habitation of his house? You know, David gives expression to his loves in the Psalms. Seven things in the 109th Psalm he tells us what he loves. He loves his commandments, loves his precepts, loves his testimonies, and so on. But in the 116th Psalm he says this, he says, I love the Lord. Do we love the Lord as we should love him? What a challenge these scriptures has been to my soul. I wanted to challenge your soul tonight, brother. Do you love the Lord? David made no bones about it. Lord, he says, I have loved the habitation of the house. You know why? His heart was with the Lord, you see. The grand thing it is to have the companionship of Christ as we move on this scene. Always in the house. We still praising him? Well, David gave a lot of expression here. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. Another lot of expression of David, I just mentioned it here before I move on. You remember in the Chronicles he says, I have set my affections on the house of my God. I have prepared abundantly for his holy house. His affections was right. I passed through discipline, didn't he? He sent him. He went through the fire, so to speak, but his heart was set, wasn't it? He was a man after God's own heart. We have perhaps misunderstood many times. Man looks at the outward appearance. The Lord takes account of the heart, doesn't he? It's where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Isn't that so? I have loved the habitation of my house. Can we see a day of the Lord? Yes, Lord, we want to. This is our offer, Lord. We love him because he first loved us. I was thinking when we sang that hymn that Brother Peter gave out, you know, about the sovereign love of God. Brought to God. Hadn't been for his mercy tonight, where would we have been? But to the Lord, you know, all of our hearts, an appreciation as to where we are. We've been brought to rest within the circle. Where love's treasures are displayed, there we dream of the living waters. We taste the joys that never fade. He mentions them in the psalm, the previous psalm, didn't he? Rivers of his prayers. Well, David says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thy glory dwelleth. Now we'll come to the 132nd Psalm. I suppose the house is something of this psalm, a dwelling place for the mighty God Jacob. David's heart was in the house. Now I'm not going to say very much about the last two psalms. I feel there are those in the company here who could develop this in a fuller and a deeper way. I'm going to say this. I thought in meditating upon those two psalms, we have the poor priesthood and we have the royal priesthood. We have the worship of God's house, 132. And we have the servants of the service of his house in 34. We have the royal priesthood and we have the royal priesthood. David here, he says, until I find a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. I knew this, didn't he? God desired that he might dwell with his people. And there's coming a day, you know, and this shall be fulfilled in the world to come. But you know, we have a further thought in the world to come. There's a day coming when God shall tabernacle with him in finality in God's eternal day. But what a blessed thing it is to be reminded that he's called us. We're the priests. We're priests. In those three psalms, there are three nice statues. We're called priests in Psalm 132. We are called brethren in Psalm 133. I wouldn't have been in this for brethren to dwell together. And in Psalm 134 he calls us servants. Priests, holy priests. What does it mean? Well, we are fitted in the perfect suitability of God's presence. We are clothed with garments of salvation, with all of righteousness. And you can enter in, having therefore brethren boldness, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, the new and living way, and you know, opened up for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Let us draw near into the house of God. And you can approach God and worship him. For there he is to be worshipped and loved and known, the worship of the house, the worship of God. And lastly, and you come to the thought of servants or the service of God. I was greatly encouraged this afternoon with most of those quotations I have referred to were mentioned this afternoon by brothers all over who contributed. Some from this side and another. I'd like just to say about this last thought in connection with service or servants. It was spoken this afternoon of how we should serve him with reverence and God with fear. Servants in the house of God. Let us go on serving him. We have the royal priesthood, we have the royal priesthood. Mind you, the fields are quite to harvest, but the laborers are few. But there he was, the perfect servant, isn't he? Jehovah's servant, the perfect servant. And he's left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Maybe we found here, with a deep sense of the fullness of the house, and maybe seek to serve him with reverence and with godly fear. I just run over those 7 points again, and I step down. In Psalm 127, we have the building of the house. In Psalm 93, we have the holiness of the house. In Psalm 84, we have the praises of the house. In Psalm 36, we have the fatness of the house. And in Psalm 26, we have the glory of the house. And in Psalm 132, we have the worship of the house. And in Psalm 134, we have the service of the house. May God bless his work.